Hello, this is Pete Rizzo from Checkbook IRA. And today we have Maximilian Pace, CEO and founder of Animus Technologies. Now, Max has this extensive background in the world of private funds and investments and 7 years' experience in cryptocurrency investing. And he and his partners have developed a really kind of neat program for crypto investing. And there's some really big differences that I think you're going to hear about today. Max, how are you doing today?
Good, Pete. Thanks for having me back.
Good. Well, it is. I mean, you've been back here a couple of times, and each time there's been really good news. And you've been able to, your company's won some awards. You've done a lot of different things that, has probably elevated you from, just getting the thing off the ground to really being a player in the crypto market. So, do you want to describe a little bit what Animus Technologies does?
Yeah. I'm happy to. So
Sure.
Animus is an AI platform for building trading strategies or investment strategies for cryptocurrency. So basically, over the past 7 years, I've worked with the team on building a set of tools that allow us to research the cryptocurrency market from a purely data-driven perspective. What we do is we're synthesizing tons of information in real time about the assets, Bitcoin and ETH in particular. And we're understanding at a high level, what does that data mean for the price in the short term? So what we're doing is we're actually combining, I'd say three main pillars of information. The first is like on-chain information, meaning what's going on at the network level. The second is like technical analysis. So you're looking at like traditional financial indicators. And the third is you're looking at alternative data or sentiment analysis to understand investor sentiment and psychology. And we're actually boiling all that down into a signal that says, how does this affect the price in the next 24 hours?
Okay, so you're, I mean, AI is a big thing right now. I mean, that's all you hear about, and it
Right.
scares the bejesus out of you too. Yeah, what it can do, and the so you're getting all this information. So really, you're looking at it that it's not just, I mean, Bitcoin's the darling right now, but you're looking at what happens if it goes down too, correctly, or how do you maximize that, or what's going on
That's
in
right.
this? Okay.
Yeah, so the whole intention of Animus is that we understand that there's tons of volatility in crypto. I think a lot of us are under the impression that at this point Bitcoin is going to go up and appreciate over time, but if you look historically, there's tons of opportunities to manage that volatility in the interim, right? You'll
Right,
see 60,
correct.
70% swing to the downside. So the point of Animus is saying, okay, from using purely data-driven information, aka not using human emotion or judgment in making decisions, how can we manage that downside, or how can we even profit in those down periods, right? Because they're clearly going to come. The volatility is clearly here to stay in crypto. So it's how do you manage that effectively? And that's kind of the whole thesis behind Animus.
Okay, now do you, when you say sentiment, you try to quantify sentiment on there. Is that looking at the news? Because it seems like, somebody comes out and coughs and stocks go up and down, or Bitcoin goes up, or the whatever reports are. Is that put into the equation too, all the different global events that happen?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the idea is that, sentiment is a major driver of the cryptocurrency market because the asset is inherently very, very speculative, right? And what I mean by
Yeah.
that is that if we've all noticed recently that all this news about ETF chatter and look at the price, right?
Right.
So conceptually, what we're trying to do is measure the effects of how the narrative is changing, what's in the news, what's in social media, right? And sentiment analysis is a cool process in which you're actually able to abstract numerical values from all these different news sources, basically saying, okay, from 0 to 100, to simplify it, how positive are things, right? On
Right.
days where, and like I looked at my checker today and it's at 86, which is extremely high out of 100, which means that people are extremely positive because, right, we have ETFs in the market, the prices run up a ton.
Yeah.
So understanding consumer behavior, investor psychology is a massive piece of what we do at Animus.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's huge because investor psychology, I know myself, when I've invested in crypto, you hear something, oh, God, I better sell it quick. because it's going to tank, and then it goes the other way. And that's the events. It seems like there's so many global events that are going on right now that, and I've been around the sun a few times, and this is the craziest I've seen in the markets, and just how stuff is affecting them or not affecting them. And if you can put that numeric value to it, I would think that, puts you kind of a step ahead.
Now, totally. Yeah. I mean, again, like crypto in itself is extremely speculative, right? So being able to quantify that and then be able to research that over time gives you a pretty significant edge in investing. But what I will say is that it's also very important to contextualize that with other information, right? Like that,
right.
That there's no crystal ball or magic wand where you have one piece of information and you understand
right.
what happened in the future, right? But if you combine a bunch of holistic indicators, right, you have coverage on a bunch of different things, then it becomes interesting.
Right. Yeah, that's and the more it seems like we're becoming such a data-driven society. I don't know if you play golf or not, but if you ever see a golfer, they can talk about more data and spin, launch angles, and this and that than ever before. But it just seems like that's the data is becoming, capital for companies. And if you can, now where do you how do you get your data? Is it fed from streams coming in or that sort of thing?
Good question. So some of the things we connect to sources directly and scrape ourselves, and then others we work with big data providers, right? So the one thing that we are well aware of is like Animus is not a big data company, right? We're not going and setting up funnels and scraping the entire internet. What we're doing is we're working with select partners to give us kind of like clean data sets, right? Or data sets that are specific to what we're doing. Where Animus comes in, where the magic happens, is we take all those different aggregated pieces of information, and then we build a signal around it, right?
Okay.
So basically, we have partners, in all the different fields, like all those different verticals I mentioned of information that help us kind of like monitor this stuff in real time. Like I'm looking currently at like 50 million tweets a month, just for reference.
Oh.
Right. So it's it's a lot of information.
Oh yeah, you think? No, that's great. I mean, and this is I know they've done it with stocks and, this sort of thing, but this is this is something that, is out there, and with the AI doing it, probably gets smarter and smarter as you go. It seems to learn. One of the things I think, I'd like to just touch on a little bit is the way the program is set up is the owner of the investment, they don't give you any ability to take your crypto out. Your crypto is still theirs. Their keys are still theirs, correct? You're just managing the trades. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so one of the massive benefits of kind of how we offer our services, we do so via SMA, so separately managed account. But what's cool is that when a client comes on board, all they're doing is they're giving us access. They're giving us API access. They're giving us trading permissions to their account. What's cool is it's like, you should think about it like an investment manager where I have access to trade your funds, but at the end of the day, the account's in your name. You have full control over those assets. You're the direct owner of those coins. And I'm actually not allowed to deposit or withdraw funds from the account. So it's kind of this cool hybrid situation you got where you can access, like a hedge fund or more like, historically like a private vehicle, but without losing the liquidity, without losing the transparency, without losing the control, right? And obviously those three things I just mentioned are extremely important, especially in crypto.
Well, I think what's important too is, you've actually, you're the one controlling your account. And so many times, in fact, we were just talking before the podcast about a gentleman I just talked to that he's got not a big amount, but enough that, you can buy a few new cars with of crypto in an IRA, and he can't move that IRA. He can't move that crypto. He's got to sell it all out to move it to another exchange or provider. And so many times, people are, they're tied into one exchange or one provider or one, or just their own. They're not even doing it themselves. They just, they're turning it over to somebody. This way, they've got complete control of the account, the keys, the whole shooting match.
All the benefits of a manager. You get all the benefits of a manager without having to relinquish the control or the ownership, right?
Oh yeah, and like I said, I mean, that's huge. I mean, one of the things right now that everything you read in the news is about Bitcoin halving, and what it's going to. Oh, Bitcoin's going to go up, and then it's going to halve, and then it's going to go up again. Explain the Bitcoin halving a little bit, because it sounds like just like kind of like a stock split. I thought there's only so much Bitcoin. So go ahead.
I'm happy to explain. So basically, the way that when Bitcoin was originally conceived or coded, there is a finite amount, 21 million of Bitcoin in total, right? And the idea is that the idea is that every 4 years roughly, the amount of that's put into circulation goes in half, right? So if you're thinking from a basic supply and demand perspective, when miners are mining for Bitcoin blocks, the reward, aka how much is put into circulation, is actually going to decrease in half. And you don't need to be a master in economics, but I'm a huge believer in the supply and demand model of Bitcoin and what it does to the price, right? And what we're seeing now in the market is you're seeing a massive, you're almost seeing a demand shock with the amount of inflows that are created from the new ETFs and all the different products, right? And that's kind of what we're seeing in the price, right? Is you've seen it almost double in the last couple of months as a result of all this new demand. But what people are also not, fully ready to comprehend is that we're also going to have to supply soon, right? So not only are we heading into a period with a demand shock, but the Bitcoin halving, which I believe is scheduled for April 20th of this year, is going to take the open supply or the amount being put into the market in half. I think that'll have another profound effect on the price over time.
Okay, so it's not like a stock split, it's like a reverse split. So if you got 100 Bitcoin, or all this Bitcoin coming into the market, the value is going to be in half. Or what will that do to the value? What will that do to the value of, say, the Bitcoin I hold? I might hold one coin for 60,000.
You will still be the owner of one coin, but from a supply and demand perspective, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the demand side, because of the limited supply, right? Like basic supply and demand tells you if supply is decreased, demand increases, price goes up, right? So, holding things constant at a very macro level, I would expect to see some serious price appreciation on the one Bitcoin that you do hold.
Okay. Now, would you, so if you're a miner, it's just going to be harder to mine. Is that the?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So for miners, that's actually an issue, right? Because now everyone all of a sudden gets half the reward, right?
Yeah.
And the idea is, conceptually, the idea is that the price is supposed to go up, right? So from a US dollar perspective, miners are still doing okay because maybe they get half the coin, but maybe the coin's worth double, theoretically. Yeah. So the idea is that the price will adjust to the supply and demand economics. But you're right, that does pose a potential issue in the short term, especially for miners who are now getting half the reward.
Right. Yeah, it seems like, and I don't know why, it seems like Texas, there's a lot of mining operations going on down there. We were talking about that. Yeah, I read that. If it's just the groups get together, or I know some of our clients have actually bought these mining computers with their IRAs, and are doing it and getting they're getting a percentage return on them. And that's interesting. I mean, that just clears up something for me right now, because I'm thinking it's going the other way, that it's okay. Well, then just like a stock split, that it would be worth half. But I guess that isn't the case. So thank you for clearing that up.
There's no change to the amount of supply. That's the important part.
Right.
Is with a stock split or a reverse stock split, you're actually changing the amount of the open supply, and then the price changes as a result, right? This is the opposite. This is saying we're not changing the amount of supply, we're changing the amount that's being put into circulation each year, right?
Okay.
So that is just that amount is just decreasing.
Okay. Well, cool. Now how, I mean, the way it works, I know with our system, and with our system is the LLC will set up the account, or the solo 401k, or, you know, a newsflash, the trust, which we'll be coming out with shortly, will set up the account, and then everything gets traded inside the account, correct? Now, the exchange you use is a, they're purely an institutional exchange, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so okay. I tend to drive people towards an exchange called SBOX. The reason I do that is because they actually have what's called an SO2 banking license. So they're actually a state registered bank in Wyoming, and they have insurance on their assets. I like them because, as you know, as everyone knows, it's very important who you're picking in terms of custodying your assets nowadays, right? So, you know, SBOX is a little bit more off the grid in terms of retail traders, but they're extremely professional and they're extremely secure. And they have a rigorous amount of licensing and compliance that provides me comfort in bringing my clients there.
Okay. So you're not, you know, will you do it with other exchanges? Like say, a lot of our clients use Kraken. I mean, Kraken seems to be a
Kraken's
big
great.
One.
Kraken's great. Yeah. Kraken's our second choice. But the reality is we built Animus in a way where as long as you have an API, which is Binance, Coinbase, Gemini, you name it, all the majors, we can access your account. And that's another big piece of it is a lot of people are very concerned about switching platforms and sending money to places, right? Like in this world of having to use the Animus strategy, you actually don't have to do that, right? We can provide our services within your environment, which is one of the massive benefits that we can provide.
Yeah, you know, and I think it is. I mean, that's the, I know they're out there, but I have not heard, I have not heard of another program like this where you get to, you know, where you just plug yourself in rather than take over the assets, which I think, again, it's a huge thing. I don't think people understand it enough that it's of what, how much freedom they have with this. So I guess that's why you keep screaming at the rooftop for you on there.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, I think it's surprising that the cryptocurrency market right now is bringing in people that never even dreamed about. They were laughing at it a while ago, but are now jumping in, like BlackRock getting involved. It was huge.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, now which coins do you have in your system? It's crypto and Ether, correct? Or is it?
Yeah. So at the Animus level, I tend to stick to Bitcoin and ETH for a couple of reasons. First is, you know, we want to stick to the quality names, right?
Yeah.
Like Animus as a company, we don't want our reputation tied to any of these coins that could be mismanaged or could go belly up, right? So
yeah,
Bitcoin and ETH are by far the most stable. And to tell you the truth, the markets are big enough, respectively. You know, Bitcoin's at a $1.2 trillion market cap today. You know, ETH is at $400 billion.
Yeah.
Those markets are plenty big enough for me to operate my business in, right? So funny, because originally we built the platform saying, okay, let's build this in a way where we could trade all crypto. But I think we quickly realized that the smart thing to do is actually be the best at less things, right?
Right.
So being the best at a couple of the big assets, I think, is the name of the game here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, I mean, you have, oh, I remember, what was that doggy coin? Whatever the heck that Musk all of a sudden he tweeted about. And it goes nuts.
Yeah.
It goes just absolutely nuts. And I think he was going to, I think he'd buy Tesla with it at some time. I think Mark Cuban was taking it for, you could buy a, you know, hat for the Dallas Mavericks using the doggy coin.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that was nuts. I mean, that was just absolutely crazy. But I think now, I think it just tanked into it on, you know, it goes up and down with no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, I mean that's a prime example of an extremely speculative asset with very little utility behind it.
Right.
So
Right. I
the
don't
reality
want to.
is, some of these guys, you know, Elon and Mark are smart guys, and they use it as pieces for the media to jump on, right? Like a lot of
Right.
that is just free promotion. It's, you know, you and I are talking about it a year later, so it clearly worked, right?
Oh, it did. It did. I mean, they talked about it all. It just takes off. I still remember, you know, my son came to me and said, oh, God, you know, I'm going to put $2,000 in. Where can I put $2,000 into, I don't know what these coins these. And I don't even know what they were. I said, well, who'd you get your information from? Oh, I knew a guy. I said, well, who did that guy get the information from? You know, and it came out and so went high and then all of a sudden flopped right in his head. But somebody probably got rich to the guy who was telling everybody, get in on it. you know, I think that's a great idea about just becoming very good at the quality products because, you know, I mean, Bitcoin, I hate to use the word gold standard, but the gold standard of crypto. And
yeah, that's exactly right.
And then Ether is kind of the gold standard of the processes, correct?
Yeah, I would say that's a good way to think about it. Ether is probably the gold standard of the Web3 economy as it relates to decentralized applications and kind of more of like a utility-based approach. Gold's, you know, Bitcoin is like digital gold. It's a store of value. ETH is like a utility-based token with a massive ecosystem of a lot of developers and decentralized applications built on top of it.
Yeah, so I mean that's look at the quality. It's probably actually too more predictable, isn't it? Than
you know, it's actually so it's funny because I think they're actually the hardest ones to predict because they have the largest reach and they have the most variables. From that perspective, we're shooting ourselves in the foot because, you know, if you looked at Dogecoin when Elon tweeted it, our algorithm probably really quickly would have said, you know, buy the thing. So, but the reality is it presents a cool challenge. Right. And to us, that's exciting.
Well, good. Well, now, if somebody wants to get a hold, wants more information, how do they get more information on this?
Yeah,
other than going to Checkbook IRA and looking at our website.
Well, I was gonna say. First of all, you know, if you're already in the Checkbook ecosystem, you know, feel free to talk to Pete about that. I'm sure you can set up an intro with me. Yeah. And if you want to learn on your own, we've got, you know, go to our website, Animus Technologies, or you know, feel free to find me on LinkedIn personally, or reach out via email. You know, I'm happy to chat with everyone in the audience. I do think that now is an excellent time to be utilizing our system, especially for those of you with Checkbook IRAs and solo 401ks. Like the ability to trade a high yield product with little risk and tax efficiencies is almost unheard of before. You know, I have a handful of clients that come through your network, Pete, that are up, you know, 40-50% in 6 months, right? Which again kind of defies the laws of traditional retirement investing.
Right.
But the reality is, you know, between your you know, tax efficient systems and my return profile, it's a pretty cool offering for a lot of people. So anyways, yeah, feel free to get in touch with me. And, you know, at this moment we are taking on new clients as we head into the new year. And, we're launching our flagship fund on April 1st of this year. In which case the minimums and a lot of things we're going to change. So, you know, for those of you that want to participate, feel free to reach out before then.
Well, super. And then also it'll be a contact information will be in our newsletter and, you know, in our newsletter, we put them in the website. So, you know, you'll be able to do it. But yeah, I appreciate your time today. And it's always fun. You know, it's fun talking to you and seeing what you guys have done because we started talking right. We were starting to really get some traction and, you know, it's been very interesting. And I know our clients that have used you have been very appreciative of it. Yeah, as we've said, I mean, people have to do their own due diligence. But I know you guys have passed the test for the people that have done that. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, you got it. And the one last thing I will say for your audience is it's never too late. You know, everyone's looking at the price today and they're going, oh no, I missed it again. But if you were the guy that said you missed it at 20,000 back in 2017, you'd be up over 3x if you just did nothing, right? So the reality is it's all about time in this market, to tell you the truth. And there's no right or wrong answer on when to start. So, you know, for those of you that think, oh, I must have missed it again, you certainly haven't, because we're still in the first inning of a multi-decade kind of like revolution on the financial side. And to top it off, you know, if you use systems like ours, it doesn't really matter if you're in the top or the bottom, because we're able to manage both sides of the ball, right? So,
Well, super. Well, hey, thank you. Again, thank you for your time, because I know that, you know, you guys are working around the clock, and to be able to carve out some time for our people is great. So,
yeah, you got it.
So, all righty.
Anytime.
Well, anyway, thank you very much. And I'm going to stop it right here.